This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Saudi Arabia has the largest population and economy in the Gulf region. In 2004, the Saudi Food and Drug Administration, SFDA, was established to protect this population and to ensure the safety of food and drugs, including biological and chemical substances, for humans and animals. Since then, the SFDA has grown into one of the Gulf states' leading regulatory agencies and aspires to be a regional center of regulatory excellence. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Dr. Sami Alsager is Executive Director for Cosmetic Product Safety at the SFDA, where he is also the Acting Vice President for Drug Affairs. He will participate in DIA's 12th Middle East Regulatory Conference in Kuwait City in late November. He joins us today to discuss the regulatory challenges and opportunities currently faced by the SFDA. Thank you, Dr. Alsager, and welcome.
Thank you very much for the nice introduction. Thanks a lot.
With regard to the regulation of medicines and medical devices in Saudi Arabia, what are the current regulatory challenges and opportunities now and perhaps in the next 5 years?
Since the royal decree in 2004 to establish a regulatory body responsible for drug, food, and medical devices to protect the public health and ensure the safety, quality, and efficacy of these products, the SFDA had two strategic plans where we achieved most of the strategic objectives mentioned or set in these two strategic plans in terms of establishing a robust regulatory system, building capabilities, and adapting the best international practices. Currently, we are working on the third strategic plan in which we addressed all challenges and opportunities that we are facing. I would divide the challenges into three aspects: pre-market control, the post-market control, and the patient access to medication. The challenges under the pre-market control, I could summarize them in three main points. The first one, meeting the target approval timelines for the pharmaceutical product. The second one is the continuous need for building capabilities, especially in the biological and biosimilar products. And the third challenge that you're facing in the pre-market aspect is the quality of dossiers submitted to the SFDA for approvals. It doesn't meet the SFDA requirements, especially in the veterinary products, since we are responsible as well for the veterinary products in addition to the human products. With regard to the post-market challenges, I could say that the biggest challenge we are facing is monitoring the products at points of sales. Now, the SFDA is available at the ports of entry, and we release the imported products at the port, and we inspect the manufacturers, the wholesalers, warehouses. However, the point of sales, still it's not under our authority as inspector. So this is something we need to have it in our next strategic plan to discuss with our partners and other governmental entities to draw the border lines between and responsibilities between the different governmental agencies. Also, the third aspect of the challenges that we are facing is the patient access to medication. We have several issues in this aspect. The most important one is the drug shortages. We are facing frequent drug shortages in some of the essential drugs and vaccines, and we need to take actions in collaboration with our colleagues in the other healthcare institutions. Also, I think one of the issues that might contribute to the patient access is the drug pricing. It's a sensitive issue, and we are trying to keep the balance between the patient access to the medication and the making the prices profitable for the company to sustain their marketing of the products in the country. It's a very difficult issue, but we are trying to encounter it and facilitate it and make the products accessible and available and affordable as possible. And through the pricing and trying to localize the pharmaceutical products and encourage the local manufacturer to produce the pharmaceutical products. The third challenge in the patient access, I think, is the clinical trials and the research and development. We are lacking the number of clinical trials doesn't match the infrastructure that we have. We have the capabilities, you have the infrastructure for the clinical trials and research, we have the expertise, but the number of clinical trials conducted in the country is very low, especially when we compare it to other countries which do not have the resources that we have. And I think this is one of the areas that we need to focus on in the next strategic plan. In terms of the opportunities, I believe despite all the challenges that we have, I think we have a quite good opportunities that we need to utilize to improve the and grow our regulatory authority. I think the FDA has invested in human capital. At least 30% of our employees granted a scholarship to continue their education, their master degree and PhD degrees in certain scientific fields to help us in our scientific decisions. Since we are a scientific driven organization, we need to build our capabilities. So this is one of the opportunities that we have. In addition to that, we have the infrastructure, we have the electronic systems we developed during the last 10 years. Also, the staff that we have young staff who are capable to learn and willing to learn and giving new ideas. 30 to 70% of our staff is below 35 years. They are young population, or we have young staff. This is, we got the challenges and the opportunities that I think we are facing in the currently and in the next 5 years as a regulatory authority.
Thank you, Dr. Asagha. These are wonderful points, and you've raised so many interesting points that if you will allow me, I would like to explore a couple of them. In terms of the clinical trials, you mentioned there are too few clinical trials in Saudi Arabia being conducted. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are a few, yeah.
Let me ask you just a practical question with respect to sponsors submitting a clinical trial application. What is the time for review of that clinical trial application typically, on average?
As a regulatory authority, as FDA, we take 60 days to approve the clinical trials. But I think we need to work together with our colleagues in the other institutions, in the governmental agencies and in the research centers, because the time of the IRB approval, it takes longer time than that. So the process of the clinical trial approval, not only in the USFDA, but the whole process, it takes long time. That's why we need to discuss this issue with our colleagues in the IRB's committees and in the research committee, central research committee, to facilitate the clinical trial approvals. And we are trying to have a center for excellence for clinical trials. This is one of the suggestions that we are putting in our strategic plan to work with our colleagues in the other government agencies.
What is the approval time for a new drug application or new marketing application for a new pharmaceutical on average?
Yeah, a new chemical entity is 290 days and the generic products is 165 days. And still one of the challenges that we are facing is meeting the timelines for the approval. Although that we have done some changes in the last 6 months to improve that, and it is already now minimized the time. We apply the new process and the new application submitted since April, and we noticed that there is significant change in the progress. So we will apply that to all products and all types of products, like the generic products, the biological, biosimilar, and helper products.
You mentioned that your agency is very science-driven. It has a lot of staff who are young, less than 35 years of age, as you mentioned, presumably a lot of young scientists. And could I ask you, what is the size, the headcount of the agency as it relates to the regulation of pharmaceuticals and medical devices, including biologicals?
Around 450 employees in the drug sector. And in the medical device sector, it's around 250 employees.
You also mentioned that you have many well-established electronic systems. That leads me to ask you whether applications in the common technical document format can be submitted and approved by the SFDA. And what I mean by that, of course, is the standard that the International Council on Harmonization has established. I realize Saudi Arabia is not a member of ICH, but I'm wondering whether applications in the electronic common technical document format can be submitted to your agency for approval.
Yes, we are adapting the ICH guidelines, and we require that the ACTD format to be submitted, all the dossiers submitted in ACT format and electronic format. And we are working in a new portal that will allow companies to submit their applications and upload their submissions through the electronic portal. So they no need to come and visit the SFDA and submit their CDs or DVDs physically. So we will ask them to provide it online and submit their applications online. No need to visit us.
Is there a process, a formal process for SFDA to meet with sponsors in consultation meetings, scientific advice meetings? Is that in place today?
Yeah, we have a certain procedure that to have a meeting with the specialists in the drug sector. So there is a specific form, they have to fill it and send it to the email, and we could respond to the company. And eventually we will apply charges for this. This is now free service now, but in the future it will be for fees.
You mentioned the topic of medicines pricing in Saudi Arabia, and would like to know, how is the price of new medicines set? Is it governed by the SFDA or by another ministry? Is it market driven? Can you give us some insight?
Pricing the medicine is part of the drug registration or drug approval process. So we designate a price for each product submitted for registration. And we send the approval with the proposed price from the SFDA. And the company, they have the right to appeal the price proposed by the SFDA and provide justification for their appeal. And we will revise it with the pricing committee, which involves external members from representing governmental health agencies and Ministry of Economy. So this committee will revise the appeal and decide about the price of product. And when we price a product, we have different factors that we compare to set the price for the product. The first one is, it's a new chemical entity or new drug approval. We will review the price of similar products with the same indication and compare it with a new product. And we do cost effectiveness comparison between the two products. In addition to that, we require the companies to submit pricing certificate list in where the product is marketed in 30 countries. So we depend on the reference pricing in many cases to set the price of the product. For the generic products, we have pricing rules for the generic products. When the first generic comes into the market, we will reduce the brand product by 20%, and the first generic will be less than the brand by 15%. And the following generic will be less than the first generic by 10% and so on. Until the fourth generic, it will be the ceiling price for the generic products coming after that.
Does Saudi Arabia have universal healthcare coverage for all of its citizens? More specifically, are the costs of medicines reimbursed fully or partially for Saudi citizens that use those medicines?
The government provides healthcare services for the citizens, and providing the pharmaceutical, the medicines free of charge. And some of the citizens who are working in semi-private, semi-government institutions, they have healthcare insurance, and they have, sometimes they pay a certain percentage out of the pocket. This is in general.
Generally, what role can the SFDA and the Gulf Cooperation Council, GCC, play in the regulatory arena and in global regulatory convergence in the near and midterm future?
The purpose of the GCC is to achieve unity among its members based on their common objectives and their similar political and cultural identities. The future of the GCC is bright and promising. Currently, the GCC for Health Council actively coordinating activities and communication between ministers of health, organizing conferences, training, workshops, also procurement programs of pharmaceutical products, hospitals and hospital sundries and equipment of high quality. Also, it helps in conducting field surveys and research assessment of the existing systems and the strategies in the health fields. Since the establishment of the executive office in the Health Council and the GCC in 1976, it has accomplished many initiatives, such as group purchasing for the whole GCC, which we should call it the GCC tender, central drug registration, health policies and medical research. One of the important and successful initiatives is the drug registration initiative, which was established in 1999 with a very clear mission to provide Gulf states with safe and effective medications with reasonable price. Since that, it has accomplished many activities in the pre- and post-marketing authorization, GMP inspections, and technical guidelines. During the last 12 months, there were a lot of initiatives to expedite the approval timeline in the GCC and also sharing the experience and, the assessment among the member states. So we have the last 12 months, we conducted the scientific GCC office, created the scientific committee for the drug registration. This committee meets every month to discuss the products submitted for registration scientifically. Their recommendation will be raised to the central registration committees to take the decision. Moreover, the Supreme Council, which is the highest authority of the organization and composed of the heads of the member states, this is the highest decision-making entity of the GCC. The Supreme Council sets the vision and the goal of the GCC. It asked the Secretariat General to study the idea of forming a GCC FDA to handle and take over all the responsibilities related to the food and drug in the GCC. This issue is still under evaluation by the Secretariat General, and I think it will be a very good idea and if it's approved by the head of the GCC Council.
How can the pharmaceutical industry collaborate perhaps better with SFDA for the improvement of public health in Saudi Arabia and more broadly in the GCC region?
I think the pharmaceutical industry plays a vital role in the economic development of the country and GCC. 20 years ago, only few were operating in the country. Now we have more than 30 pharmaceutical companies or manufacturers locally. This sector is only providing 20% of the total medicine requirement of the local market. I think employment opportunities, contribution enhancing the GMB and GDP are gradually increasing. Also being an intense knowledge-driven industry, it offers quite good business opportunities for the investors. Therefore, the existence of well-defined and strong pharmaceutical industry is important for promoting and sustaining research and development efforts and initiatives in an economy, as well as making available the quality medicines to all at affordable prices. That is essential to improve the health status of the individuals, as well as the society as a whole. So the positive contribution could be made to the economic growth and regional development of the country. This is what I think is the industry, their contribution and is essential in the field of pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare system.
Thinking more long-term, I believe there is a National Transformation Plan 2020 and a Vision 2030 in Saudi Arabia. What are going to be the impacts of these initiatives on healthcare and regulatory reforms in Saudi Arabia?
You know, the Vision 2030 is a comprehensive plan to reform the entire economic structure of Saudi Arabia. The main goals are to develop other industries and sectors to ensure that the economy is no longer as dependent on oil as a source of income and to decrease the public spending with a greater emphasis and participation from the private sector. I believe that there is a definite move towards privatization with the stated objective in the National Transformation Program of increasing private healthcare expenditure from the current 25% to 35% of the total expenditure by 2020. This represents a projected increase in revenue generated from 3 billion Saudi riyal to 4 billion Saudi riyal. In addition to this, the Ministry of Health plans to spend over 23 billion Saudi riyal on new initiatives over the next 5 years. These initiatives include increasing the private sector share of spending through the alternative financing methods and service providers, increase the efficient utilization of available resources, improve efficiency and effectiveness of healthcare sectors, and so many other initiatives related to Ministry of Health. Also, one of the initiatives that relates to the SFDA is implementing the track and trace system, which will enable us to track all the pharmaceutical products in the market throughout the supply chain, from the manufacturer until it is dispensed to the patient. This will help us in minimizing the risk of counterfeit products. It will help us in case of recall or withdrawal of defective products. This system already now, we have the system now, and we have the plans to implement it to be fully implemented within 18 months from now.
Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that there was an issue with drug shortages in Saudi Arabia. What is, do you think, the reason for such a shortage?
There are several reasons for that. One of them is the price. The second one is the volume, the demand of the product. The product doesn't worth it, the headache of the manufacturing this product or selling this product in the country. I think this is the main two reasons for. In addition to that, is the procurement policy that we have, and the policy stating the tender for the health system should be every year on an annual basis. This is will not help us, especially in the vaccine products, to be available and sustainable, available in the market, because there are only few manufacturers who are manufacturing this kind of products. And these manufacturers, they need forecasts on the demand for the next 3 or 5 years. So they need to know how the quantity that they need to prepare and manufacture it to be available on the market, because they give priority in their list for the countries which are their procurement system is based on, not on an annual basis, it's based on 3 or 5 long-term plan. So this is one of the issues that we need to tackle with the Ministry of Health.
Is the shortage particularly severe for certain types of drugs, certain types of diseases? Where is the shortage most severe and pronounced?
It's in the vaccines and in the some of the essential drug list. And we are trying to solve this with incentives for companies registering these products and market it, to make it available. And one of the initiatives, incentives that you are thinking of, and we are studying it very well, is granting marketing exclusivity for 2 suppliers registering and marketing these products.
And finally, Dr. Sagar, the BIA Middle East Regulatory Conference is just around the corner, coming in late November. What are you looking forward to at this conference? What are you expecting to take away from this conference?
I think it's very important for us as a regulatory authority, and we're looking forward to know the key challenges facing the industry in terms of their transactions, all transactions with this FDA, whether it's the drug approval or the pharmacovigilance system or the clearance and importing their products. So we are interested to know their challenges and to figure out our weaknesses to improve our services to them. And the other thing is to learn the latest updates and development in both regulatory and industry. It's very important as in the Merck that we come back with the updated development in the regulatory and industry based on the international practice. And the third one is increasing our network and open dialogue with the industry and with the international regulatory authority. So this is, I think, the main takeaways that we were interested to take from the next Merck conference in Kuwait.
Well, on behalf of BIA, we thank you for your participation in the conference, and more particularly for your participation in today's conversation, which we will now conclude. Thank you so much, Dr. Sagar, for your insights and the rich information that you provided to us. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
For the BIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.